Welcome to Radio Curious. I'm Barry Vogel. Have you ever wondered what it is like to work inside a prison? Well, Ted Conover, a nonfiction writer, did. So he went to the New York Department of Corrections to ask if he could shadow a new trainee recruit at the New York State Corrections Academy. His request was quickly turned down. Ted Conover believes that if you have the opportunity to participate in somebody else's world, you can learn much more about that world than you might by merely asking about it. And he decided to apply for a job as a prison officer himself. As a result of his training and then working at Sing Sing Prison in New York, he wrote a book that is now in paperback entitled New Jack, Guarding at Sing Sing. New Jack is the slang term for a new prison guard. As a participant journalist, Ted Conover and I visited by phone to talk about some of the stories of his training to be a prison correctional officer and his work for almost a year at Sing Sing Prison. In this, the first of a two-part series of conversations with Ted Conover, I asked him to begin by telling us if he had any idea of what he would be getting into when he applied to the New York State Correction Academy for the training program to become a prison guard.
No, I didn't. I thought I might simply try to get through the academy, and if I succeeded in that, it would be enough for a good article, but I didn't know what it would entail. I certainly didn't expect a boot camp, and I don't think at any point I expected that I would become a prison officer for as long as I did. So I didn't pursue a book contract in advance or anything like that.
What was the impetus behind trying to do this investigation and write this story?
The officer's experience seemed to me such a large topic and so complex and multi-layered and the kind of thing that you'd learn so much more if you did it yourself that once the department turned down my request to just visit the academy and tail a recruit as he passed through, I decided there's definitely a good reason to do this myself.
So in other words, talking to somebody, this didn't do it. You had your observations?
Well, right. I mean, I'm a great believer that if you have the opportunity to actually participate in somebody else's world for days or weeks or months at a time, you're going to know more about them than you would if you were limited to interviews. Interviews are invaluable for learning things, but each method has its limitations. You don't always get the same feeling of empathy from an interview as you do from putting on the uniform. And so I wanted to get in as deep as I could, as fast as I could, and I thought it will be a dramatic experience because I knew it was stressful for officers, and I knew it would be hard for me because I'm not, I don't think of myself as an officer kind of personality.
What is an officer kind of personality?
There are many different kinds of people who do that job. The ones who thrive, I think, are people who enjoy learning a set of rules and then enforcing them. And that's not to say they are, somehow limited people or small people or anything like that. This is an important job, and you can do it and be a good officer. I deeply believe that.
Well, do you feel that certain personality types are better suited for being a correctional officer than others?
Probably. If you were a person, for example, whose main professional goal was to help people, this would not be the right job for you, even though it's called correctional officer, you don't spend much time on rehab or correction in any sense. You're in an enforcement capacity in a prison. Your job is basically to say no to inmates and keep them from breaking the rules. You know, prison is a totalitarian society. It's, I think, the purest thing we have to that. It's run according to a set of rules that the state has come up with. They're very specific. There's about 1,000 of them. Some of them aren't written in the book, even. They're just sort of the way things are done in a particular prison, and you only learn it when you work there for a while. So the job involves mainly keeping the inmates in line. When you tell them it's time to step into their cells, some of them won't want to do it, and you have to make sure they do.
How do you do that?
It's not as easy as it sounds. The first day I showed up on a gallery, that's the floor of a cell block where inmates live, it was my very first day, having finished on-the-job training, and the officer I was there to help handed me 2 heavy rings of keys and said, go to the other side and get them into their cells. And I said, how do you do that? And he said, oh, you just tell them. And that's not what you do. You don't just tell them. I had heard upstairs, I'd heard somebody like banging his baton on the wall, and he's going, gentlemen, step in, please, and, you know, sounding like a pub tender or something. And I did the same thing, and miraculously about half of them did. But then you've got the other half, and I call it again, and maybe another quarter stepped in. And then it comes down to having to approach people, saying, excuse me, guys, time to step into your cells, you know, I've got to lock everybody up. Let's not delay anymore. But you have to be respectful. It's not like in the movies where you say, yo, in there, you know, in there now. Buddy, I told you to step in. Do it now. Because they greatly outnumber you in these buildings, and respect is a sort of paramount concern for a lot of inmates. And they, if you treat them respectfully, you get better results.
How do you differentiate between respect and fear on the part of the correctional officer?
Well, a lot of COs, correction officers, will tell you they're not frightened. But I think most of the ones who are candid will tell you that it's foolish not to be frightened when you walk into a prison. It's fear that keeps you wary and keeps you from getting hurt a lot of the time. Most of my fellow officers were fellow new jacks. That's the title of the book, is from the slang word for a rookie officer. And, you know, there's no hiding your fear when you first walk into a maximum security prison. You're confronted with an inmate population that they tend to be muscular. Many of them are young. They work out a lot. I myself am not a big guy. You know that a lot of them have committed violent crimes. A third of the men I supervised have committed murder. And so you know they're capable of hurting you. And you can't show your fear. But you don't, you know, you don't do things to provoke them. And I think by respect, what I'm referring to is, you know, trying to treat them with civility and in a reasonable way, and hoping you'll get the same in return, though prison being prison, you often do not.
Well, you talk about half will go in when you say, gentlemen, please step in your cells.
Yeah.
And you say it again, another half go in.
Right.
That leaves about 25% that are going to take some additional effort.
That's right.
How do you do that?
And you walk up to these guys, you make eye contact. Often, if they're not stepping in, it's because you're brand new. You're the substitute teacher who they've never met before. They know that all the COs enforce the rules in a slightly different way, and they want to figure out where you're coming from. Are you going to be sort of aggressive and brittle, or are you going to be relaxed and a pushover? What's your style? And they're kind of waiting to get a sense of you, because, you know, you are the authority, but in another sense, you are their entertainment. Most inmates, you know, are alone in a cell that looks out into the air and then through a very dirty window. You are the thing that walks back and forth by their cell, and so it's not purely a matter of they're awaiting their orders. They're there to have a little amusement some of the time too.
Will you tell a story about one of the people who wouldn't go in the cell, and he said to you, "You're going to learn, CO, that some things they taught you in the academy can get you killed." What do you mean? What's that all about?
This was an older inmate. Some of the older inmates are incredibly angry and bitter. And even if you treat them with respect, you know, they decided long ago they hate everyone who looks like you. And you start off thinking that's because of the uniform. But I think with a lot of them, you know, they've been in the system so long that their dislike assumes a racial character as well, because almost all the officers in a big state prison like New York, and I think it's true in California and much of Texas and Illinois too, most of the officers are white. The vast majority of the inmates are minority. And you get a sense from certain inmates that no matter what kind of person you are, they are going to dislike you. And this particular guy had ignored me, and I wasn't going to put up with that. I walked right in front of him. I gave him a direct order to step in his cell, and it made him so mad that he issued what's essentially a threat. And yet he could deny it's a threat, because what were the exact words you said? You're going to learn, CO, that some things they taught you in the academy can get you killed, i.e., if you push the wrong inmate too hard, he will try to hurt you. And that's basically what he was telling me. And I think if it were my first week out of the academy, I'd write a ticket to this guy. You can get an inmate confined to his cell for misbehavior. But I'd been in Sing Sing long enough to know that you don't write tickets for things like that, because the lieutenant who supervises is going to say, "Oh, so tell me, Conover, what happened in this situation? The inmate scared you? Is that right? Did the inmate scare you, Conover?" And you're going to look foolish. I mean, it's a very macho place, and you save your tickets for serious stuff. So that guy, he scared me, yes, and I let it slide. He finally went in his cell. I mean, he went in his cell then. And when push comes to shove, you can say, you know, if you don't go in your cell, I'm going to get help. And other officers are actually often delighted to come help, because so often we got disrespected by inmates individually, and if you then get help, you can impose your will. And it's not, you know, it doesn't sound nice to say it now, but there is a pleasure in that that grows with prison work, because so often you're saying you're doing the right thing, and the inmates are not paying attention.
I'd like to take a moment and tell our listeners that this week we're talking with Ted Conover, who trained and then worked for about a year as a correctional officer / prison guard at Sing Sing Prison up the river from New York City. He recently wrote a book called New Jack, the slang term for a new correctional officer. You're listening to Radio Curious. I'm Barry Vogel. Ted, you mentioned that you get a certain amount of pleasure from forcing an inmate to comply. Where does that come from? How does that feel and develop over the period of time that you worked at Sing Sing?
Yeah, I think what a lot of people who know prison from the movies or from inmate accounts don't understand is that as an officer supervising inmates, you're usually greatly outnumbered. You're fearful that one of them might strike you. You're a little bit nervous about the crowd, and you're with people who are testing you all the time and disrespecting you to see what they can get away with. And at the end of the day, you know, you feel like you've been beat up a lot of the time, even if you haven't been physically struck. And so that is the sort of feeling a new jack especially gets, because you're sent out to, you know, to go head-to-head with the inmates directly. It's the worst kind of post in a prison. And what it leads to, I learned one day when I was working in the psych unit, I was supervising inmates who had, you know, clearly had mental problems. A lot of them had tried to commit suicide. A lot were extremely aggressive, and I would escort them from their cells to a meeting with their counseling committee. After one such meeting, an inmate refused to return to his cell and started walking through a gate toward the offices of the nurses. The gate was supposed to be closed, but another officer had left it open. I tried to stop him using an Aikido grip we'd been taught at the academy, which didn't have much effect. I don't know, because he was on drugs or just out of his mind. Another officer then came up, an old-timer, put one hand around his neck and with his other hand started punching this guy in the stomach, which certainly not what we'd been taught in the academy. Even that didn't stop the inmate's progress. Finally, a third officer came up, a big guy. And when you work in a prison, you try to keep friends with the big guys, because it can really matter for you in moments like this. The three of us finally got the guy back in his cell, and though on the one hand I was a little bit horrified at what had transpired, I surprised myself by feeling kind of exhilarated. And it's because it was the first time in, I think, 2 or 3 months where I'd actually prevailed over an inmate who wouldn't listen by using physical force. You know, in prison, that's supposed to be a last resort. You're not supposed to use your body. You're supposed to use your communication skills. Again, not what you see in the movies, but that's the reality. But when push comes to shove, you're hired to do everything you can to make the inmate comply. And it felt great. And that, to me, was sort of a first clue about one of the weird prison dynamics, you know, about how officers get changed by the job.
How did it change you? I mean, that's one example you gave us. Were there others?
Oh, sure. There's a day when an inmate who had been taunting me finally made me lose my temper. He'd been calling me Cracker. Yo, Cracker, come over here. Cracker, what you doing here in the big city, man? You should be back home with your people. I mean, you get that kind of thing. And I had done nothing to him. But he persisted all day long. Other inmates were laughing about it. And I finally walked up to his bars and I said, why don't you just shut up? And you would think that that's certainly a reasonable thing for an officer to say, and that officers say that all the time. But in fact, that showed the inmate that he had won this little battle. He goes, woo-wee, everybody hear that? CO told me to shut up. And, you know, a whole group of like 12 cells then, everybody was sort of yelling at me and agitated. And it got worse from there. He was using a mirror. They're allowed to have mirrors to see you, to look up and down the gallery from their bars. But they're not allowed to leave the mirrors on the bars themselves. It's one of those funny jail rules. I therefore took his mirror, which infuriated him, and though I didn't think he'd know when I was walking by next, he did. He spit on me, slugged me, knocked me over, and I wasn't really hurt. I mean, I didn't have a bruise or anything, but as I drove home that day, I had this vivid fantasy of the whole cell block going up in flames, and I kind of started to hate inmates. And on reflection, it wasn't until months later I thought, you know, that was the true wound I suffered that day, was coming to hate inmates as a result of this one particular encounter. And I think a lot of officers, you know, over years, these things add up. And it's you find it's easier to do the job if you don't think of them as individuals, if you just think of them as you know, numbers. It's easier to do the job if you don't have compassion for them. It's easier to do the job if you are just a tough guy who doesn't admit to feeling. And so, you know, it takes a strong person to do that job and not see your soul shrink. I'm lucky. I quit after a year. But there are guys in that job for 20 years, and not you know, it's not good for all of them, and some of them show that.
I'd like to take a moment and tell our listeners that this week we're talking with Ted Conover, who trained and then worked for about a year as a correctional officer slash prison guard at Sing Sing Prison up the river from New York City. He recently wrote a book called New Jack, the slang term for a new correctional officer. You're listening to Radio Curious. I'm Barry Vogel. Ted, it sounds like this job took you to places in your mind and in your soul that were beyond reach or beyond your imagination.
I would never have thought that part of me would react that way. At first I thought, oh, the job will bring out my interdisciplinarian, you know? I thought, that's how this is going to broaden me. But then, it brought out a whole sort of negative side, which was very much sort of in defense of my own peace of mind, you know? I didn't go in there to stir things up, and I firmly believe 90%+ of officers just want to get out at the end of the day like any other normal person, having experienced as little confrontation as possible, because humans generally don't like that. It's a very small minority who I think start to feed on the negativity and sort of long for the catharsis that physical violence will bring.
In your experience working in the prison, did you find areas where the training at the academy was vacant and didn't prepare you at all, and some areas where they over-prepared you?
Sure. I mean, the academy accomplished some important things. It taught us about the law, both the laws under which inmates had been convicted and then the laws which govern the use of force on the job. You know, we learned about firearms and defensive tactics and chemical agents, that means tear gas. We learned about keys and all kinds of important procedures, frisking, all of that. But we spent a week on what was called interpersonal communication, which I think should be the central experience of training, because the rule in the academy was you do not speak to inmates. There are some inmates who work in the academy serving food or cleaning up bathrooms, and there's this funny rule that you are not allowed to talk to them. When we got to Sing Sing, which is often the first stop for new recruits in New York State because they always need help, many of us did not know that we were allowed to talk to the inmates at the prison, and our training lieutenant was flabbergasted. He said, well, of course you're going to talk to them. In fact, that's all you're going to do. And all day long, that is what the job involves, is talking to inmates and arguing with them. And to have had some actual experience of that at the academy, you know, invite four inmates into the room and to give you a little sampling of how inmates are going to talk to you in the prison and how you can more effectively get them to do what you want. I mean, some real life training in that would be so valuable. But instead, you're taught that your job is to issue lawful orders and their job is to comply, and that's 99% of all you need to know.
Do you think that your book, New Jack, brought any changes in the administration of the prison system in New York?
It's funny. It's a good question. They are certainly very aware of my book. It was banned initially. It's now censored before inmates are allowed to see it. They tear out 7 pages that they claim are a threat to security. I think there is a growing debate in our country about prisons, and I feel my book is a party to that debate. I'm proud of that. I think we all need to think more about prisons, and if I can bring some people into this place where they wouldn't normally go, I'm glad. As far as the concrete changes in New York, well, I hope the lesson here for the authorities is that if you try to keep people out of prison, if you act like it's CIA headquarters in Langley and it's just too secretive for the public to know about, people like me are going to find a way in. And the revelations, you know, are not going to be as easily controlled as if you, as if your PR people had simply said, what can we help you with? Which was, no one ever said that to me. They try very hard to keep people out. And more concrete than that, I heard that a month after my book came out, I tell how the windows of B Block would let in much more light if they were washed, but they hadn't been washed in, I don't know, 15 or 20 years, according to inmates. I was told a month after the book came out, the windows were washed. So I don't know if that counts as prison reform, but we do what we can.
Well, Ted Conover, I want to thank you for joining us on Radio Curious and invite our listeners to tune in next week for another further conversation with Ted Conover. And Ted, before we close, I'd like to ask you to tell us about an interesting book that you've read lately.
It's funny you should ask. I was I'm in the second half of Crime and Punishment by Dostoevsky, which I missed during college. And it's all about a murderer and his struggles with his conscience. It seems, in a way, very dated, because so many of the inmates I met did not seem to be struggling with their consciences. And in fact, many inmates these days seem to feel they are the unjust victims of a racist system. But, you know, it's a fabulous book, and that's what I've been reading.
Well, Ted Conover, thank you very much for joining us on Radio Curious.
Thank you, Barry.
Ted Conover is the author of New Jack, Guarding at Sing Sing. The book he recommends is Crime and Punishment by Fyodor Dostoevsky. Copies of this and other editions of Radio Curious can be found on our website, www.radiocurious.org. They're also available in CD format for $10 each. At Radio Curious, we appreciate your thoughts and ideas about our programming and enjoy hearing from you. Our address is Post Office Box 7, Ukiah, that's UKIAH, California, 95482. Our email address is curious@radiocurious.org. You've been listening to the archives of Radio Curious. I'm Barry Vogel. Thank you for listening.